would you like some space after I say welcome to the podcast to make some remarks?
Nah, dog.
So embarrassing.
The type of person who says nah, dog,
I know,
is not going to get
any time. He's just going to have to, like, edit all of that
okay,
part
we're
out.
No.
Mucho embarrassante.
We're keeping that. Ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Melinda Poitras, and you're listening to He Said, She Said, the one with books and bros. That word was listening.
Listerining. What?
Hi, I'm Melinda Poitras, and you're listening to He Said, She Said, the one with books and bros. I am here with the mother of one of my favorite bros on the planet today, but also my best friend, Brianna Oliver. We're in the Oliver household. We are under a tent that her husband, Justin, has lovingly created for us to increase our sound quality, I guess?
Sure.
To give us a chance to just give us and you, our dear listeners, a chance. Brianna is obviously my person. She is extremely talented, wonderful woman of God, practices hospitality like none other, has a real heart for God and his people, and I'm so glad that I am one of her people, and that my life is so enriched by her on the daily via FaceTime and in person. Sometimes FaceTime and a call and text and in person, like today, under a tent. We practice Women's Domination Days, is that what we call them?
Lord, yes.
Yes. Speak to the people about Women's Domination Days.
What was it? Was it Wednesdays?
It was Wednesdays.
Okay, so Wednesdays we would have our days of exploring the town and
being a tourist in our own city.
Yes, and we would randomly, we would do all types of things. There was nothing that we had probably not done on a Wednesday.
Exactly.
Coffee, check. Prayer walks around old Kmart's, check.
Mm-hmm.
Picking up people off the side of the street,
yep.
Also check. A lot of weird stuff.
But a lot of wonderful things because we were together.
It was good.
Brie is a photographer, an excellent one, so her schedule is a little more flexible. And all of these days that we're talking about are obviously pre-me being a teacher and pre-the baby being born.
Pre-baby.
So there is that. Speaking of pre-baby, I wanted to talk today about the baby, but also about the day that we sat in your living room and I made that scripture in Job the background of my phone. Let's find it. It was in Job chapter 1, verse 20. I'm finding this in our matching Bibles. We have those.
We do.
It's very, those are books written by bros who were inspired by the verbal plenary inspiration of God. So it counts, and it's valid for discussion on the podcast. So it starts in Job chapter 1, verse 20. Then Job stood up, tore his robe, and shaved his head. He fell to the ground and worshipped, saying, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will leave this life. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And the day that we read this verse that I'm referring to, we'd read it many times before that, but the day that we read it that time was a very special day because the Lord had given. But why don't you tell us about why this verse was underlined in your Bible in the first place?
Yeah, so in 2012, 2013, I was pregnant with a baby, and the baby was due in January of 2013. And that July of 2012, the Lord called my baby to be home with him. And during that whole season of losing the baby, I remember we were in the ultrasound lady was like, "Ma'am, I can't find your heartbeat." And the only words that I could remember to say was that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. And that whole season, that kind of sparked the season of the Lord taking away and then promising that, you know, one day he would give back. And it was funny because that scripture is highlighted, but then the scripture after that is also highlighted because my sweet Jay, I was leaving the place that I was living when I was separated from my ex-husband, and I was walking down the stairs getting ready to go to a party with some of my college friends, and this is like probably one of the first conversations I had ever had with Jay, and he had found out that I had lost baby, and for whatever reason Justin had said, "That sounds like it was really hard. Tell me how you're getting through it." And what a good question. But I quoted the scripture to him, and I was about to walk out of the house, and I would be honest, I was not heading to a church event by any stretch of the imagination. And he said, "Do you remember the verse after that? What happened? What was said after that?" And I was like, "No." And Justin said, throughout of all of those things, Job did not sin and blame God. And I kind of rolled my eyes because I wasn't in a place where I wanted to have anybody tell me what to do. I was kind of mad with the Lord, just because it was a really hard season. But that is what kept me. And I remember thinking that I drove off and I sat in a parking lot for a while just sobbing that I probably shouldn't blame the Lord for what he was doing, and that he was going to turn that into something that would glorify him in the end. So that scripture was highlighted, and it's just kind of been always just a reminder that he's going to be faithful and he's going to continue to pour out his blessings later on like he did for Job.
Yes. And that day, Brianna had actually taken two very positive pregnancy tests, and we knew that the Lord was giving again. Talk to us about in January, when you woke up in the night. So the day that I'm talking about is in March, right? It was
yes.
The day in March. And so in January, the Lord had spoke to you about your children.
Yes. So Asher, would be the baby that I lost. He would have been due in January. And so January is always kind of a hard month for me just because, of that loss. And, we had a bassinet sitting in our bedroom for almost a year at that time. And we were like trying to start having a family. I don't know how you say that like correctly.
Yeah, it's okay.
So we had, I hadn't gotten pregnant yet. And in January, the Lord woke me up, and it was actually probably around that same week that Asher would have been born. And he said, "Pray for your babies." And I was, poor the Lord. I got so mad because I was like, "Do you not remember that you have already taken from me my baby? Like, you already have him. Why do I need to pray for these kids that I don't have?" And the Lord said, "I'm going to give you three." And he told me that the first one would be a boy. And I said, "Well, Lord, I just want him to be used for your kingdom. Tell me what he's going to do for your kingdom." And the Lord spoke back and said, "He's going to be used for his words. And his words are going to glorify me and be used for my kingdom." And then he told me about the other two, which I'm just going to kind of keep those in my heart until until those happen. So that is when he woke me up and first told me to pray over my children. And I wrote down what he had said about all three of them. And so now we're just kind of waiting on those promises to come to pass.
Mm-hmm. Talk to us about being a boy mom and maybe some things that you kind of do with intention in regards to that.
So I think being a boy mom is, I think it's one, it's like being a parent, I think, is just a huge burden, I guess, a huge challenge, and a huge calling, but a blessing that I get to do. But being a boy mom, I think, is somewhat different than being a girl mom, because I'm raising up a man who will one day be a leader, not just like a leader in like a world leader, a leader in his church, but also the leader of his family.
Right.
And I'm raising somebody's future husband, and that I don't take lightly, just because I know what it means to have a good husband. And I want to raise Rhett up to be a good husband for somebody else, but also a good leader of his home and a good father, and just a good person in general. So I feel like I was asking the Lord, you know, like, tell me, like, what, like, give me this, like, huge formula, this epic type mic drop moment of like what I need to do to be like this good mom, and like how am I supposed to make for sure that he does all of these things to be just a great man of God. And the Lord reminded me of 1 Timothy, and at the very end Paul tells Timothy to guard what is entrusted to you. And I really believe that as a parent, the Lord gives you your children because you are the best fit for as a parent for that child.
Yes.
And for Rhett, I have no clue what I'm doing, but I am the best mom that Rhett could have because the Lord has entrusted me to him. And I think that because I could guard him, we have set boundaries in our home. And my mother-in-law talks about this all the time, is setting boundaries, and setting boundaries within your home, within your marriage, within your relationships, not because they like limit you, but because they protect you. And so I have guarding Rhett from what the world has influencing of him. But also Justin and I are our whole life mission, our whole life focus. We really feel like it's pretty simple, and it's just to love God and to love people. And because I love God, I want to be obedient to him, and I'm obedient to what he asks of me, and I'm obedient. I'm submitted to his word. I'm submitted to what his callings are. And because I love him, all of those things kind of follow suit. And so I feel like when you love God and you are just modeling that in your home, that it would be replicated in this child's life. And that's what I'm hoping. I called my mother-in-law and I called some other elders, and I was like, what do I do? Give me this magic formula. I'm pretty new at being a mama. And they were just like, just love the Lord. Just model what you do. And I wish it was this really crazy recipe, but it's just a daily application of loving God and loving his people and praying that one day Rhett will leave my home loving God and loving people, and he will do that in his life.
I think that's pretty great. You have always taken, well, you take all of your roles seriously, but you've always taken this one pretty seriously. I remember that we had a lot of conversations leading up to Rhett's birth about it being a big job to raise him to love Jesus. And I was thinking about this the other day because I held him at his baby dedication, which was in March.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did not hold him again until, I'm going to say 2 Sundays ago, yeah. I got to hold him again. I've been here, like I've seen him from a distance, but I haven't held him that whole time. And our Chas put him in my arms. I didn't know what he was going to do. And he just like looked overwhelmed that I was outside of a cell phone screen, and just kept like putting his head down on my shoulder and then looking at me again, like with joy, and putting his head down on my shoulder. And it just kind of was a really beautiful moment to me because I haven't been here. You know, I haven't always been where I can see him or I can hold him, but you've literally trained this child to love his Millie. And I just know that if he can love his Millie, he can definitely love Jesus. You can succeed at that. You can succeed at anything. I'm supposed to mentor him a little bit because of the words, but I would like to point out that I said spoke to the Lord earlier in this podcast, and that is all that I have thought of since then. We're not doing it again. I'm just grateful that the Lord sends us people to do life with, and I'm especially grateful for you, my Brina. When I read the Old Testament, I get really grateful that Moses and the Lord did not ever get mad at the people on the same day. And I'm also really grateful that Brianna and I never get mad at the people on the same day. We keep each other hanging on when barely. When I think otherwise, we wouldn't be quite as godly away from each other.
True.
So let's all keep doing life together with the people the Lord sends us. Let's all keep raising up children with intention, let's keep crawling into living room tents.
Yes.
With our best friends. And let's all be better together.
You've been listening to He Said, She Said, the one with Books and Bros. Hopefully something you've heard made you smile, inspired you to think, or called you nearer to a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Thank you for taking time. Thank you for making space. We'll catch you next week, same time, same place.